You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I am back. I'm here with Holly from Tiny Ruins. What has been happening recently for Tiny Ruins? Has it been pretty chill or...?
We've recorded 11 songs so far and we have...
Wow.
Oh, four, maybe four more to kind of add to the pot and... it's feeling quite sort of, we're very insular when we're in this time and we don't really play very much. But I do miss it. I've also got a little almost, well, he's not almost two, but he'll be two in August. And a 4-year-old, so they're keeping me busy. And my bandmates are also really busy with other projects and things. So yeah, it's like, we're recording, we're meeting up lots to workshop demos and do that sort of thing, but we're not super active in the public sphere.
Yeah, but there's things coming. Yeah. It's brewing.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And yeah. What does this look like having a young family? How is that juggling all that?
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
At times it's the children are amazing and so much fun. It's just all consuming in terms of like, I guess I'm also, you know, lucky in that I can hang out with them a lot. Being a musician, I kind of have a pretty flexible work life balance.
Yeah.
And it means that I'm kind of intensely in their lives, which is great. I feel really lucky and they're just still so little, so they need me a lot. And writing songs and kind of scurrying away to my little room where I try and get some ideas down is like a totally different process to what I used to be like.
Yeah.
It's now got a lot more urgency and kind of real appreciation for time and also like a kind of renewed passion just for the joy and the love of music and what an amazing thing it is. And I think you can kind of, or at least maybe I got quite I wouldn't say burnt out, but definitely maybe overwhelmed with the busyness of like touring and all of that stuff, releasing stuff and videos and content. And you lose sight a little bit of like why you started, you know, why you love music in the first place. And so this has been great because it's made me like miss it and love it even more. So it's I'm lucky I have a partner who's also very involved and hands-on, and we live a very simple life of just like trying to raise these babies to be okay humans. And it's great. I'm enjoying this season. I just turned 40 last year, so I'm kind of in this new stride of a new decade. It feels good.
That's pretty awesome. And rewinding it back a bit, what is your musical background? Yeah, where has it started?
I just always loved it. I was drawn to it from a really early age. Like some of my earliest memories are listening to music on my dad's Walkman. And when I was around 7, I started learning the cello. My mum was really supportive of me learning an instrument, and she kind of gave me this great opportunity to have lessons. And so I grew up in a kind of a classical training, and through high school I was in, you know, all the different orchestras and chamber orchestras and rah-dee rah. really like knuckling down to try and be a cellist, I guess. But I also struggled a bit with the whole discipline of that, and just how hard you have to go to make it in the classical world is was very daunting. So, yeah, at the same time, I was like writing songs, and I'd started a couple of bands, and we'd done Rock Quest, and that was like, yeah. So in my teens, I was definitely like, it was normal, you know, to kind of be writing songs and being in a band. My mum had also been in a band when she was in her teens and 20s. And so, yeah, all of those things combined to it being just something that was normal, that I didn't have to jump through hoops to kind of, for that to seem like I could do it. But at the same time, yeah, I didn't think that it would be a career, so I didn't study it at uni.
Yeah.
I went to uni and studied law and English literature and theatre, and I kind of dropped music.
Yeah.
Other than writing songs still, like in my bedroom, which ended up being my first album, was kind of songs that I wrote while studying.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of the journey. So I didn't really release any music until I was in my mid-20s. And my demos kind of found their way to this little record label who gave me the cash to record my first album. Yeah. It was all very, like, lucky. And it just kind of came together. And I was kind of graduated being like, I need to get a job, I guess. But this is sort of happening. So I followed that path. And I've never really looked back, although now I'm starting to feel like music as a job is quite treacherous in this new age.
Yeah.
So I'm never like saying no to other types of work or a different career. I'm always kind of like keeping that gate open, you know?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. What was, back in uni, what was the process and what were your inspirations when writing music? Because I feel like that's something we can relate to because currently in uni, you know? Yeah.
So this was 2000. This is going to make me feel very old. This was in the kind of mid, like 2007 through to 2005 through to 2010, let's say. And there was like a big folk revival during that time, and like kind of indie folk and kind of indie music was having like a real spotlight in the mainstream. So I was definitely listening to lots of old folk blues, like Folkways recordings, and like, you know, discovering lots of music that I had listened to as a kid, like Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, all the like kind of great, the classics, the songwriters that your dad, you know, listened to. And all of that was like in a bit of a melting pot with all this like indie new music that was coming out around that time, like Arcade Fire and I don't know, like Bill Callahan, Smog, kind of songwriters joining up with like, noisier elements. And locally it was like obviously the peak of Wellington dub, like dubstep and like Phoenix Foundation were a really big influence at the time, and kind of other Wellington folk musicians, Age Prior and like all of that kind of stuff was, so I was studying in Wellington, so that was a big part of the feeling, the environment that I was in.
A mixture
of like wind wind and rain and storms and so the influences were quite broad, I would say.
Yeah.
It wasn't just folk, but kind of folk music was kind of like quite deep in my upbringing. Like a lot of the records that I'd listen to with my mum or dad were like Leonard Cohen or
beautiful.
You know, that kind of old 60s stuff. So it was like all a little bit of a journey through like the 60s, 70s mainly.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I really appreciate your songwriting, your lyrics, and also your guitar is so beautiful. Where do you have any specific inspirations for your lyrics and your guitar?
Oh, The guitar is an interesting one because I'm self-taught, so I've just kind of developed it over many years. I started learning when I was maybe 11 or 12. My granddad taught me a few chords and I just loved it. Like, I was kind of obsessed with it in the sense that I just, that's kind of what I wanted to really be doing rather than cello practice. I played, you know, all your standards, like, from the time that I was that age, like, you know, Weezer and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I did all of the Stairway to Heaven. You know, I learned all of
the standards.
Yeah, exactly. And then when I was in Wellington as a student, like, in my early 20s, I guess, it really, like, there was a significant change in that I started finger picking. And it wasn't like a plan or anything. I just kind of started and then I got, I just sort of improved, I guess. And I just upskilled and, like, would have practiced a lot during those years. Cause I was just, like, studying and being in my room and, exactly. So I lived in a big flat with eight of us and there were, other guitarists and I was friends with some other musicians and stuff, so it was like a little intensive period where my guitar playing became a lot more experimental. I was changing the tuning and trying different chords that I made up, and, like, you know, I didn't really, and I still don't really know the theory of the guitar or, like, the math of the neck. I just my songs are very, like, just born of fiddling around and, like, sort of messing around, basically.
That's cool. That's so organic.
And, like, having a tattoo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm now, like, teaching guitar. I have a little student, which is cool. And it's quite good because it's made me kind of go back and relearn some of the stuff that I probably should have, you know, some of the theory and the actual musical side of it, other than just fiddling, just like trying stuff out.
Yeah.
So guitar is interesting. I still love playing guitar more than anything. I've always thought of myself as more of a guitarist than a singer.
Yeah.
And then lyrics, I guess, I can't really say, like, who's influenced my lyrics.
Or even what?
I think,
I don't know, your surroundings, people?
Yeah, I would say a much more direct life experience, you know, like writing down what happens to you or what's happening, and journaling and relationships and relationship breakups and friendships.
All
and
the good stuff.
That's the stuff. The stuff that is like the songwriting.
Now it is Te Marama Poro o Aotearoa, or New Zealand Music Month. So I was just wondering, Holly, if you could recommend us a song, an artist, or an album, a New Zealand piece of music for us to listen to this week.
I am going to, recommend, well, I feel like I should recommend Aldous Harding because her album came out, I think, today or yesterday, which I have listened to once through while giving my children breakfast this morning, and I think everyone should go listen to it while having breakfast or something, having a meal, or, I don't know, in the middle of the night or something.
Awesome. We'll definitely be doing that tomorrow morning, you bet. this is a pretty random question, but what New Zealand native bird do you most align with?
I'm going to say the kotare, the kingfisher.
Beautiful.
I always look out for them because I'm often walking along the coastline, and once my dog found five chicks, like, lying on, they'd fallen off the cliff nest, because they nest in the cliffs, there were, like, these little featherless chicks all lying on the ground squawking, and my dog, like, was super gentle, and I collected them all up, and I took them to the bird lady and Green Bay, which is quite close to where I live. And yeah, they all made it. They all survived.
That's so beautiful.
Released. It's like a real good feel story. Feel good story.
That's so cool.
So yeah, I love the Cortade, and yeah, I'm going to say that one.
Cool. Good choice, man. Good choice. And can you let me and the listeners know what we can look forward to from you and from Tiny Ruins down the line?
Well, I really hope we're going to do some band shows this year to kind of test out some of our new material that we are hard at work committing to vinyl or digital world.
Yeah.
And some shows, some new music coming soon.
So exciting.
Yeah, maybe something released this year, like a single or an EP, and then an album next year, I hope. I say this and then I'm like, will we do it? I don't know. It's so hard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, awesome. Surely come down to down here at some point. That would be pretty awesome.
I love playing an auto tahi.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll just wrap it up. Thank you so much, Holly, for your time. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Big mahi to you. So looking forward to hearing some new music in the future. No pressure, no stress. Thank you for your time. I hope your dog walk goes well.
Thank you. Yeah, they're being scoundrels. Chasing each other.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for the chat. I appreciate it. It was nice to talk to you. All right, kia ora. Bye.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.